Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 8th chapter. False gods and idolatry have been an issue ever since the serpent slithered into the Garden of Eden. There is only one God who created all things visible and invisible. Yet the serpent came along and tempted the woman, telling her that she could become just like God, having knowledge of good and evil, if she would simply take a bite of the forbidden tree. She ate, man ate, plunging the world into sin. And from that day forward, people have developed a belief in many so-called gods. It's as if they desire a visible image of the invisible God. From Israel's earliest days, God's people collected and worshiped false gods and idols. But God is a jealous God. He will not share his glory with any idol, any myth, or other person. So he would call his prophet Moses to be his mouthpiece to the people, to give a visible voice to the invisible God. Moses would serve God as Israel's prophet, his priest, lawgiver, judge, intercessor, miracle worker, shepherd, founder of a nation. And it was through Moses that the Lord God gave Israel the Ten Commandments, beginning with, "You shall have no other gods before me." Later, the Lord would reiterate this statement, proclaiming what is known today as the Shema, saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The bottom line is, there is only one God. You're not him. Accept no substitutes. False gods lead people away from following the true God. False gods and false prophets lead people astray, and they are worthy of God's eternal judgment. Even as great as Moses was, Moses would prophesy of one greater to come. He said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. God will put his words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that God commands him." Moses is referring to, obviously, Jesus. Moses was given all authority over Israel, but Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Christ Jesus is the greater Moses, who not only speaks the words of life, but he also gives his own life as ransom, so that all who trust in him might have eternal life. There is only one God. Even the demons know that God, as we heard in our gospel text this morning. They publicly confess Jesus as the Holy One of God. But as sinful man is wont to do, he continues chasing after his idols and his false gods, even today. In the chapter prior to our epistle text this morning, St. Paul has been answering questions to the Corinthians. They apparently sent him a letter with questions, and he is answering them with questions pertaining to the body, the Christian's life in the body, such as sexual immorality, marriage, and the freedom from circumcision. Beginning in our text this morning, Paul answers those questions regarding food sacrificed to idols. Now, in Corinth, there were many, many, many temples where people would go and worship false gods, worship various idols. And in those temples, animals would be sacrificed to these gods and idols. And following the worship, some of the meat would be left on the altar for the false god. Some of the meat would be eaten by the people who gathered at the temple to worship or for a celebration of some sort. And then the rest of the meat would be taken to the marketplace where it would be sold among the people. People who bought meat in the marketplace didn't know, has this meat been offered to idols or not? Has this meat been dedicated to false gods or not? Now, Paul apparently previously discussed this issue with the Corinthians. He told them that false idols and false gods are nothing. They don't exist. So that the foods that had been dedicated to these false nothings, well, it was safe to eat. It wasn't contaminated. And there arose two other questions from the Corinthians. Those who were knowledgeable were puffed up by their knowledge. They felt that they had the complete freedom, knowing that that meat was safe to eat, those foods were safe because they had not been offered to idols. Well, they could go ahead and eat it, and it didn't matter who was around. It showed their strength of faith. The idols are nothing. It was just merely food. On the other hand, there were those who were previously involved in the idol worship, the sacrifices in the temple. And they felt that eating that meat was sinful. And they couldn't separate themselves from the eating that they were doing now, from the eating that they were doing when they were part of the cult. Their conscience was weak, and eating the food would pull them back into their old pagan lifestyle, back to worshiping the false gods and idols, and further away from Jesus. So St. Paul writes to them, "Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat. We are no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak." In the original language, this word stumbling block, it's really just one word. And it means a cause for offense, cause for making a misstep. So in a nutshell, Paul's saying that just because you know you are free from doing, you are free to do something, doesn't necessarily mean you should do it. Because what you are doing could quite possibly cause a weaker Christian to stumble, to misstep, and to slide back into a sinful life. Your weaker brother and sister in Christ could very well be tempted by that idolatry, to slide back into idolatry. Therefore, out of love for the weaker Christian, the strong Christian shouldn't use their freedom when around those weaker in the faith. Abuse of your Christian freedom may cause your brother or sister in Christ to stumble and act against their conscience and lose faith. So instead, build them up in loving restraint. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So what would it pertain to in our world today? Well, let's talk about what I refer to as Lutheran beverages. While it is true that drunkenness is a sin, Christians are free to consume alcohol. Jesus turned water into wine. He taught his disciples of all times to drink wine in the Lord's Supper. He even told Timothy, St. Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for the sake of his stomach. But what about your Baptist brother and sister in Christ, or a new convert into Christianity who has always been taught that alcohol is a sin? Drinking in front of them could possibly cause them to slide in to a sinful life. What about the recovering alcoholic who previously was enslaved to alcohol? You don't drink in front of him, so you don't lead him into temptation. Sure, you're free to do it. You have all the freedom. It's not a sin. But it's not about your freedom. It's about loving your neighbor. And St. Paul puts an exclamation point on this thought in the last verse where he writes, "Therefore, if any food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble." Earlier, Paul used the word stumbling block. Well, here in the final verse, he uses a completely different word. In the original language, the word stumble translates to cause to be brought to a downfall, cause to sin. Just because you are free to do something doesn't necessarily mean you should do it. For the weaker in faith, perhaps this first misstep will be the beginning of their downfall into old sinful and destructive behaviors. Now, to be sure, while Paul is saying that you have the Christian freedom to eat food that has been offered to idols, he is not saying that you have the freedom to participate in idol worship. The food has been purchased at the market. Yeah, we already talked about that. Nobody knows if it had or if it had not been dedicated to idols. But the Christian is strictly forbidden from participating in idol worship, any worship that even has a hint of a smell of pagan worship. This is what we call syncretism, the combining of different beliefs into one. Looking ahead to chapter 10 in Corinthians, Paul writes, "What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons." Participating in non-Christian worship is the equivalent of commingling the blood in Christ's chalice, Christ's blood in the chalice, with the blood of idol sacrifices. So in our text today, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul's primary concern is misusing your Christian freedom that might harm your brother's faith. But in chapter 10, he goes on and on, arguing at length about flirting with false gods and idols instead of fleeing from them, because they will destroy your faith. Fellow redeemed, for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Have you exercised your Christian freedom to do something and hurt a weaker believer in the process? Most likely you have. We all have. Sometimes you've done it without knowing. Other times, perhaps you knew an instance when you did. Sometimes you hurt people without even knowing it. And those times when you fail to take into account the weakness of your neighbor, your fellow believer. Maybe you didn't even care that that person was struggling, and you thought, well, I can, so I will. For all those times you've caused your weaker brother and sister in faith to stumble, repent. Turn from your old ways. Jesus died for that sin just as sure as he died for the sin of the one weaker brother. Jesus knows all of your weaknesses. He knows all of your sins, just as he knows those of the weaker in faith. And it was his joy to leave heaven and take all those sins upon himself and carry them to the cross where he would put them to death. He came to suffer all the agony and the shame, the beatings and the bloodshed, to become our once for all, one-time sacrifice for all mankind. There's no reason to go to the pagan temples. Jesus does not require any sacrifice from you. God doesn't require animals to be sacrificed on his behalf. No other false gods or idols are allowed because there is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father, by whom all things were made. God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who desires no bloody sacrifice, but he is the sacrifice, shedding his own body and blood, the very Lamb of God, slain on the altar of the cross to take away the sins of the world. And God the Holy Spirit, who called you to faith, enables you to love and serve others. The Spirit enables you not to assert your Christian freedom, but it empowers you to give up your freedom for the sake of those who are weaker and to serve them in love. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love sets you free to selflessly serve others, just as God in Christ Jesus serves you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.